Rob Owens and Ben's Pittsburgh Pop for this week here at Trib Live, your weekly slice of pop culture. Glad you're with us. Lots to talk about this week. We start with our review of Guns N' Roses from last week. I was there at PNC Park.
I was not.
Yes. Well, a lot of people were not. In fact, they closed down the upper seating. I originally had tickets in 306, and like everybody else who had tickets up there, we got to the park and found out you're being upgraded. So I wound up with tickets in 107, which was great seats. But yeah, the crowd was pretty sparse, or it was going to be sparse. And then they closed everything up top and packed people down close to the stage and packed people in the 100 section. And it certainly looked like a better crowd. But that, I think, was a function, Rob, as much as anything else, of them adding this date in Pittsburgh well after they had put Hershey on the schedule without a Pittsburgh date.
Yeah.
And then everybody from Pittsburgh bought Hershey tickets. And then they said, okay, well, I don't need to see him again. And maybe that's because Axl can only hit half the notes in half the songs anymore. So I wouldn't have seen it twice. Let me put it to you this way. The band was great. Axl, every five or six bars, hits a note out of nowhere where you say, oh my God, it feels like 1989 again. But the rest of the time, you can tell he's 61 and it's a struggle to hit that high register.
Oh,
you know, when
boy.
He gets into that lower sort of growling voice that he does, he can still live there in that world. But the higher parts, like in Sweet Child of Mine, it gets a little tough. And
oh, yeah.
You know, they've got some pretty long songs. There were some 7 and 9 minute songs on Use Your Illusions that are just vocal marathons that are hard for him to get through. He did a good bit for November Rain. They have two people that play keyboard during the show, but then Axl for November Rain always plays piano himself.
Mm.
And he put on an Elton John looking jacket, which was a nice touch. But it is still strange to see Axl with super short. His hair is shorter than mine practically at this point.
Oh, that is weird.
Whatever plastic surgery he's had, he constantly has this look on his face like he just forgot a lyric.
Oh, no. Well, I was going to ask, who is even in Guns N' Roses at this point? Because I felt
Slash still is, Duff still is, Dizzy still is. There's about four or five of the guys that still are. So
did Axl leave at one point and come back?
Oh yeah, I mean, like they for years and years, decades, it looked like they would never tour together again.
That's what I thought.
They came through in 2017 or 18 to what was still then Heinz Field. And the show that we got this time from Axl is the show that I feared we'd get last time. Last time, he still hit enough of the notes that it felt familiar. I was like, okay, I'll go again. And then this time, this is probably the last time. I mean, the band was fantastic. The band sounded great.
Yeah.
And the set list was a little quizzical. They could have shaved off three or four songs, particularly because they got a little crunch. They got on a little late. Not like Axl Rose back in the day at the Civic Arena late, but, you know, still late nonetheless. So they had to drop Patience at the end. There was a curfew they were working with because they were playing outside, which dented their playlist as opposed to what they did in Hershey. But, you know, it was a nostalgia fest, and the band at least brought you back to the nostalgia. So,
well, good, good. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself at least some of it.
Speaking of nostalgia, that's what Winning Time is all about on HBO. They're in the second season now. What are the reviews so far on Winning Time Part 2, the Lakers? And now I guess if we can get into it, the almost like the build up to the Lakers-Celtics rivalry aspect of the first season has now coalesced here in the second season.
Well, I would say generally the reaction has been crickets, which is not good for the show's future. The author of the book that it's based on is sounding the alarm that if people don't start watching, the show's going to get canceled and it won't get a second season. Sorry, third season.
Well, that's interesting. Then I wonder, have you seen the whole way through? Do you know how they end or where they end?
I haven't. I have not had an opportunity to watch much of season two at this point.
Because there's a lot that goes on, especially in Magic Johnson's life, which they hinted that they were going to get at. My gosh, the show opened up with the whole he's about to find out he had HIV thing. Remember, that was the opening montage.
That was the very first sequence.
They only got through the Lakers' first championship in the first season. They're picking up where they left off right in 1981, the summer after the 1980 championship for the Lakers. My kind of hunch was they were going to get through until 87, or maybe they get through 87 when the Lakers won the rubber match of the finals against the Celtics, and then get to the Magic Johnson stuff and what I assumed would be the last season. But something big is going to be left on the table then if they don't have a season three.
Right. And we don't know at this point. It may be that the numbers go up, but just looking at where the show is now versus where it was in its first season, it feels like a lot of the audience didn't come back. And honestly, I think that's because they don't know the show is back. I don't feel like HBO put a lot of marketing money behind the return of
that.
Season two.
It was really quietly launched season two.
Which, you know, you have to spend money to get people to show up at your show. And if you don't do that, people aren't going to show up. So we'll see. Now, it could be that people catch on to it and find their way to it and the numbers start going up. Or it could be like Perry Mason, another show that HBO failed to give much of a launch to for its second season, and it ended up canceled.
Amazon, on the topic of sports-related shows, Rob, is going back on its renewal of a league of their own and ended up canceling the show. How come?
So I think it is a complex answer to a simple question. The stated reason in the trades, reading between the lines, is that the strike disruption prevented them from filming this year. It is a show that has to film in the summer because it's baseball, which means they wouldn't be able to film it to next year, which means it wouldn't be on the air until 2025. Abby Jacobson, the star and co-creator of the show, called that BS, that it wasn't because of the strike. And I think both things can be true. I think Amazon was guilt tripped into renewing the show in the first place. I don't think they really wanted to. But I think because of the interest in the storyline that they took, the queer representation aspect of it, it made it sort of we need to renew this, not that we want to renew this. So they renewed it unenthusiastically because they were going to order less than 5 episodes. Hollywood Reporter says it was only going to be 4 episodes for season 2.
What can you do with 4 episodes?
Right. I mean, why even bother almost? So I think they were looking for an excuse to cancel it. And I think the strike provided that excuse. It also coincides with Amazon higher ups suddenly being more concerned about spending at Prime Video. Remember, Prime Video is a very, very teeny tiny small part, a rounding error of the overall Amazon budget, because mostly Amazon's there to sell you toilet paper. But they are suddenly more concerned with spending. League of Their Own was an expensive show to do. What were they really going to get out of it for 4 episodes? Was it going to make people buy more toilet paper? Was it going to make people sign up? No, none of those things. So there really was no upside to Amazon to bringing the show back. So I think the strike provided a good excuse, but I don't think that's the entire reason as to why it won't be coming back, which is too bad because it would have been another show filming in Pittsburgh. But once the strike,
I was going to ask you about that. The baseball scenes, would they have been filmed here?
I mean, nothing had been officially announced, but the expectation was all of season 2, like season 1, save for the pilot, were going to be filmed in Pittsburgh. You know, they built that stadium out at Boyce Park, or the campus out there. So, yes, it would have been back, but I don't think we need to spend a lot of time shedding tears for Pittsburgh production, because another show will just come in its place once the strike is over. I think that it's not like this opportunity means it's probably in a way even better, because if a show that could go longer than 4 episodes comes in, then that's more work for local crews.
Where do things stand with the strike?
Well, possibly, you know, if you want to read tea leaves, there might be some potentially good news in that the writers and the AMPTP, the production, the negotiating entity for the studios, have gone relatively silent and they are talking again. So, you know, no breakthroughs have happened. Nothing has been announced. They are still far apart on some issues, but they are talking quietly and not sniping at one another in the press. So I think that is potentially good news. However, I also read something in Puck News yesterday that suggested that, you know, even when a deal is done, it will be weeks before the deal is ratified, which means, and that's just for the writers, then we have to get the actors' strike taken care of. So it may be at this point that nothing really starts filming again until January.
It was funny because I was late to the party on this, but I watched the American Gladiators documentary that ESPN did.
Oh, sure.
Two part, the 30 for 30 on the American Gladiators.
Right.
And they pointed out, and this was before the strike happened when this was released on ESPN, but maybe it was sort of a hint or a harbinger, you know, the news of the strike, I know, was in the wind by that
right.
point that it could happen. American Gladiators, when it launched back in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and when it relaunched again in what was that, the mid 2000s?
Yep.
Both the result of a writer's strike, because they were desperate to get new programming on TV and they needed something unscripted. So maybe we get American Gladiators 3 out of this, Rob.
Oh, I don't know. Is that something we want to hope for, Tim?
You know what? I think it's just kind of morphed into American Ninja Warrior anyway.
That, and also there's that syndicated WOW women wrestling show. So it's already
Glow,
out there.
Glow,
and,
right? Was it WOW now?
Glow was the one in the 80s, but the one now is WOW. So it's out there just by different names.
Let's get to one other quick note here. I know we want to spend a little time in the future talking about Ahsoka for the next Star Wars chapter that's being put out there by Disney Plus, but there is some news about the rollout, right?
Yeah, so I'm embargoed at this point from giving an opinion, although I've seen the first two episodes of Ahsoka. It comes out, so the original date it was supposed to come out was Wednesday the 23rd, but in a new strategy that Disney Plus is doing, they are rolling it out Tuesday night instead. So it will become available at 9 p.m. East Coast time. So, and I think that is by design so that people aren't being spoiled if they don't watch it first thing Wednesday morning. It gives them the opportunity to see it Tuesday night. And actually, let's think about this. This is once again streaming television regressing to the mean, as the masked scheduler always says. So basically, instead of rolling the show out at 3 a.m, it's now just a 9 p.m. Tuesday night time slot show, so that folks can watch it then like they would a normal primetime series. So I think that's to the benefit of everybody.
What do we have at TV Talk and TV Q&A this week, Rob?
So this week's TV Talk, looking back at three former Pittsburgh TV news personalities, where are they now and what are they up to? So that is a column that I've done before, but it's been a couple of years, and I've got a couple new folks to talk to. I've got Jim Lokay, Sheila Hyland, and Ellen Gamble. And so it was fun to catch up with them and sort of see what they've been up to in their years since their time on Pittsburgh TV. And then TV Q&A, we have a question about Lindsay Ward is back from maternity leave on KDKA mornings. What does that mean for Erica Mokay, who was the fill-in anchor while she was away?
And coming up on Breakfast with Benz this week, don't forget there's a Thursday night preseason game, Steelers and Falcons, to wrap up the preseason. So we'll recap that Thursday night into Friday morning. Then we'll start turning our attention to the regular season. There's a long lull now with that last week of games gone. So we'll figure out ways to continue to talk about the season that eventually will start. I promise you. It will start at Acrisure Stadium on the 10th against the San Francisco 49ers. Until then, we'll have another episode of Pittsburgh Pop next week. Tim Benz, Rob Owen with you here at Trib Live.